Love is the Law on day one, hour three of our Project Down and Dirty broadcast. We are raising money for Springboard for the Arts. They help artists, you know, singers, guitarists, potters, painters, sculptors, singers. They help them with their business, keeping their pockets from
trying
being empty.
Yeah, trying to
during
live.
COVID.
Yes, right.
And think of all the shows we used to go to, and think of all the art shows you'd go to, and just last year you guys were making art at MCAD, and think of all those kids.
Oh, and were we artists extraordinaire? That's another thing we excelled at, Lori. Boy, we really were winners on these Project Down and Dirty things. We want Lori and Julia on our team. Oh, Lord, Rocco.
What did you guys do? Everybody made a sculpture.
We
made right? posters.
We actually
it
made
was
a
cool.
really cool sculpture.
It was cool.
I loved last year the
it was
art
super
thing.
Fun.
It was
you guys
really
had the Love is the Law poster, right?
Yeah, we did.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. We did screen art, and then we cast something in molten, you know, lava, but it wasn't lava, it's something. And
and Donnie and I and Julia all shared a big master suite in this big house in Kenwood.
And we yelled profusely that Donnie, we had to walk through our bedroom to get to his room. Remember the first night?
Oh my
We're
God.
Not rooming with Donnie. And B. Arthur's like, be quiet. You have the biggest room in the house. We're not doing it with Donnie.
We've never shared a no? I mean, it just felt weird to us.
It did feel a little weird
to him too.
It did.
Yeah.
He didn't like it.
I mean, this is my first time kind of being part of this.
Yes.
And I've never had to do like the sleepover thing.
Well,
I was
fun.
Looking at old video when we were trying to do state fair memories. I was looking at videos from the from the trailer at the fair. That must have been awful.
Well,
Jason and Alexis slept on the table.
It was hysterical.
It was actually so much fun.
Yeah, it really
it was painful how much fun that was. And I remember Ian and Marjorie. Ian's going to be on. He's got a new book coming out. He's going to be on Thursday, I think, with us. And they had the room with the air conditioner. And don't you remember, we're all laying on that little tiny bed in their room trying to get cooled off because it was so hot. And this was our old location, old trailer.
We were in the good, the one we were the longest, right by the women's bathroom, the corner of Randall and Cooper. Where
it was
the big,
so fun.
You know,
Ferris wheel is now.
And Donnie realized that his tall body really didn't fit in that space with all the other people. And he realized that he could make a nest of Adirondack chairs and be in the nursery.
In the lactation
station.
And since his lack of smell, you know, Donnie doesn't have a real strong sense of smell.
There were still diapers
But he couldn't really smell it. Mm-mm. And I felt it was like another level of security because it brought out all my worst scary hatchet murder clown psycho thoughts. There's no creepier, quieter place, Rocco. I can tell you this. At 2 a.m, then the Minnesota State Fairgrounds on a hot August night, nothing but some cicadas and the crackle of some lamps. And then you run in one of those bathroom buildings and they're big.
Yeah.
And they have two sides and many stalls. And our security guy, Greg, was asleep.
Yes, he was.
Oh, I've never peed. I think I basically, you know, like ran around that building and just peed with my pants down or something. But I did go in and I was terrified.
And Reavers was on our staff too. And you know how tall he's like 6'7" and his size 2,500 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Shoes only would take up the whole living room.
Right, right.
It was so funny. But we laughed so, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a good time.
But that one was because it was so extreme. It was like going to camp for the first time in seventh grade, like a sleepaway camp.
And finding that everyone you work with,
your parents, and it's equal parts terrifying and exciting. That's what it was like.
And you really like your friends that you didn't really know.
Right.
Because we'd never experienced that amount of time with each other. That was a...
Yeah.
But like sleeping is such an intimate thing. Not even...
We didn't have a choice. Rocco, they made us do so many things we're uncomfortable with. The store was the worst.
Ed Hardy Mall of America was the worst. They hated us.
That's when they knew they
sleeping
hated us.
Sleeping at the Mall of America in a store in front of everybody. That was the worst.
Marjorie ran away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Marjorie and little one. Mm-hmm. Our little one that used to be here, Marley. Yeah.
No, I think that became all of a sudden people were bringing a Project Down and Dirty in their contracts negotiations.
Well, after this one's that been one. Fun and pretty harmless so far. We had, I mean,
it's
going to
be amazing.
We kind of were here at 9 a.m. knocking out some scenes.
Yeah, it was cool. It's going to be an amazing show, people. And that's another way to donate right now. Just buy tickets.
Yeah.
Because everyone splits up the $10 ticket, you know, and you can share that with your family if you're all in the same house.
Right.
But we want to thank people for donating right now. Our cause is Springboard for the Arts, mm-hmm. and we'd love it if people donated. We are doing our best this year to try, because it's just, it's a great cause. In the meantime, Lorraine.
In the meantime, I would just like to let you know that Whitney Houston achieved a pretty incredible thing. Numbers. I know we throw out numbers all the time.
Because we're so good with math.
You know, blah, blah, blah.
Rocco, but we excel in that area.
But Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You video, which is right out of The Bodyguard.
Yes, it is.
Just hit 1 billion views wow. on YouTube. You think, oh, I'm sure lots of people have done that. That's not true. There's not lots.
We Despacito, I think, hit it. Who else has hit that?
Not
a lot.
It's so many. I mean, like Harry Styles, like they hope that, I forget who broke the record, if it was Selena Gomez and Blackpink, or might have been BTS Dynamite, the fastest million views on YouTube.
Right,
that's kind of how they measure it in, you know, the millions.
Oh, Lori.
The Yahoo article I'm looking at says it's the fourth video from the 90s to make a billion.
What are the other ones, Rocco?
Let's see if you can get it. One's by Guns N' Roses. It had Stephanie Seymour in it.
Sweet Child of Mine.
November Rain.
November Rain, that's right.
Was from the Seattle Grunge.
Nirvana.
Yeah, Smells Like Teen Spirit. And one was one that Miley Cyrus just sang the other day by the Cranberries.
Zombie.
Yeah, a billion hits on
YouTube. That seems odd. And they, by the way, sent out a tweet, because I know their lead singer died.
Dorothy.
Yeah. Right. Dolores. They sent out a tweet that she would have loved rendition. Yeah.
It's kind of like Stevie Nicks is just thrilled about, you know, Dreams, and she wrote that, and like she's so happy about it. She's just like, so happy because that song is so good.
That people are finding out.
Finding it
yes,
again.
Yes, yes, no kidding.
You know, it's like Fred and Tim.
Who are they?
The YouTube, the cousins, or the brothers.
Oh, they watch the old music videos.
Phil Collins, those guys are hysterical. I mean, it's kind of nice to see these, you know, people have the flashbacks of other music. Okay, speaking of flashbacks, I saw this trailer for George Clooney's
Midnight Sky.
It's going to be on Netflix. Apparently, it was going to be like some Christmas tentpole movie.
And a tentpole means it was going to hold up the whole organization. It was going to make so much money.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's because, you know, it's George Clooney, and they just felt anyway. It's Clooney describes it, his elevator pitch on it is Gravity Meets the Revenant.
Now, The Revenant was
with Leonardo DiCaprio when he fought the bear, the wilderness thing.
Gravity is the one that Sandra Bullock was in, where she was stranded somewhere, and we never watched it. Do you like...
I went to the movie theater and saw that horrible movie.
Rocco, did you like it?
You know, I did kind of like it, but, you know, nobody likes claustrophobic people stuck in a thing where they can't breathe for an hour.
Which is what we've been in. P.S. By the way.
Yeah. Wait, I've got to interrupt this with a breaking news.
Okay.
We need to thank Catherine for her donation. She dedicated her donation to Ash St. John, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist from the Raddus City, Minneapolis, and the father of my grandchildren.
Oh, cool.
How sweet is that, Kathleen? Thank you. And thank you, everybody else who's donating.
Yeah,
Gina,
because Springboard
Eric
for the Arts, I mean, it is also musicians and everybody that's in the music industry.
And art.
Maybe we should do that. We should celebrate local musicians as a way to, you know.
Yeah. If someone wants to call and make a long distance request.
Rocco, you would. Distance dedication. We want to hear. Send it out. Soul Asylum's Runaway Train to Jody.
Right. I wonder if Dave heard that I thought his other brother was cuter. Did I tell you about that email yesterday, Rocco?
No.
Remember, we talked about their beer. Dave Pirner from Soul Asylum's brother has a non-alcoholic beer called
The Hairless Dog.
Thank you for remembering with another gentleman.
Only because a hairless dog just sounds absolutely dreadful, like one of those hairless cats that I don't like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chupette comes to mind. Okay. Mm. But we digress. Okay, so anyway, so we get a note yesterday that the younger brother heard us talking about it.
Okay.
And we were saying that we thought he was, I said, I thought he was cuter. And then you're like,
I thought he was younger.
And you thought she was younger. And you said, well, that's because David, you know, always rocks so hard when he's on stage. So he's into it. And, you know, that's why he didn't look so good last time we tried to meet him. So it was very funny. So he, the younger brother couldn't wait to let the older brother hear our kind of saying the younger brother's hotter.
Oh, funny. Well, God, I'm glad I said that about Runaway Train.
You totally did.
And I did love that Runaway Train.
That's the best. Of course. So we weren't dissing him. We just said, you know, it'd be like if someone said they like my hair better than yours once.
Once, yeah.
Not even, just once.
Right.
Because again, we posted videos of Loreen today, and whenever she wears her colorful, multicolored peace sign ensemble from Poppy, which is opening a third location, which I don't know where it is, but you can Google it. This gives us inspiration to shoot.
I got this on the sale rack. So I was so excited. It was my first day shopping.
The only comments. Lori, I love your hair. Lori, your hair is great.
Well, Julia, I knew that we were going to be on things today, and I made an effort, unlike you.
Excuse me?
I'm not like you. But I mean, look at you. Just wore a MyTalk zip-up hoodie like you're at the fair. You know?
I thought we were supposed to dress in logo wear.
No,
I'm identifying our station identification.
Who said that?
In case I forget who we work for.
No. I don't want to. Wear something cute.
I put on makeup. I can't do everything in the same day.
You did not put on makeup.
A little bit.
Oh, Julia. Were you 10 feet away and with your fake arm spraying it on your face? Close your eyes. Bill Maher came out. He was on with Jimmy Kimmel, and he was in the studio.
Okay.
And he came out with a 6-foot arm and a sleeve and a thing and shook Jimmy Kimmel's hand.
That's funny.
It was really cute.
I think that's funny.
It's kind of nice to see two people sitting across from each other.
Absolutely.
You know?
Isn't it so weird when you watch an old movie or show and they're in a room together and you're just like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Why
are
you doing that?
Or sitting around a bar and just yapping and everyone's hanging out.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
I know. Whenever that's going to be. So.
I know.
All right, listen.
It's time for the Dirt Alert.
It is. We'll be right back.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Holly!
Hello, Lori!
Hello, my fellow Foley artist.
Tell everyone what a Foleyist is.
Artist.
Our Foley artist is. You're the sound effect people.
Yes, the sound effect people. So when you're watching something, a film or a TV show, there are sound effects that are made by people who specialize in that very art.
Why do they call it Foley? Is it named after a person?
Mr. Foley.
No, Foley.
I know. I'm going to look it up.
Do you know?
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, well, Julia, look it up because I don't know that.
I don't know how to spell it, though.
F-O-L-E-Y. Yeah. So it was named after a sound effect artist, Jack Foley.
Okay,
So you guys were right. Well, I looked it up on the internet.
Well, you're quicker than me. I didn't know how to spell the word. That always sets me back.
Yeah, I was so rattled today about, you know, how am I going to get out of playing the astronomer? And now I'm just realizing yes, indeed, I did put on my shirt backwards.
And inside out. Is hysterical, Lori. That's hysterical. She was so worried after that reading last night.
Oh, Holly.
But you did a good job, and I mean that truly.
I was just reading.
Yeah.
And I quickly realized that it's going to be acting and reading. And
that's why you're such a good team player. You did such a good job.
The funny thing is, you guys are playing like kind of wacky sisters from Minnesota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the best direction that Peter Rothstein gave you guys after like 5 minutes of you guys trying was like, just be yourself.
Yeah, okay, right.
Because you are naturally goofy sisters from Minnesota.
We were trying to use our one accent that we don't know how to do. All right.
Well, Lori slipped into one of her accents. And it was like, well, that was kind of mutating while
looking at me on Zoom because I was laughing so
It was literally a Southern Minnesota accent.
I was laughing so hard. But it's so hard. We're not good at this. So when people are listening and watching, it's like,
it's going to be good.
Us.
We're going to get good one take at a time.
Yeah, this radio drama is going to be excellent.
Well, it's
funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Well, we have professionals writing it. We're working with such wonderful, talented artists. And here's the thing. You guys can watch along on Friday night. Go to mytalk1071.com. Tickets are $10. The proceeds going to our four charity partners. And Lori and Julia, your charity partner is Springboard for the Arts.
Yes, it is.
And you got it. It is so important to support our artists because they have given us so much in our lives. So now it's time to pay back the favor and support them during this really challenging time.
And you could do it in such a small way too. It's not a big commitment, it's just effort.
Yeah, because when we all come together, every little bit counts. And when we come together as a big community to support, it really makes a difference.
All right. Thank you, Holly.
Now good let's job, talk. Holly. Yeah. Let's
I just smell my armpit on the video.
What?
Did you remember deodorant today?
We forget there's cameras.
We forget
on.
There's camera, and I'm smelling my armpits to see if I smell.
Are you doing like a superstar thing, like on SNL, stick it under your armpits and Mary Catherine Gallagher?
Right.
Well, let us know what it smells like, Julia.
I'll do one in solidarity.
I have deodorant at my desk. Yep.
Well, I'm going to tell you about Kim Kardashian today because the internet is not here for Kim Kardashian. She is getting roasted online this afternoon.
For what? See, we can't go online because we're Zooming.
You can.
Well, don't tell us how.
We don't want to do more than one thing at a time. We're trying to fundraise and talk at the same time.
All right. So sit back, relax. I'm going to tell you about why Kim Kardashian is being dragged on social media this afternoon. So she's sharing pictures of her 40th birthday extravaganza at some private locale in a tropical location. And it's the photographs with the caption that people are just not here for it. So here is what people are taking issue with. Here's the quote. Quote, after 2 weeks of multiple health screens and asking everyone to quarantine, I surprised my closest inner circle with a trip to a private island where we could just pretend things were normal just for a brief moment in time. We danced, we rode bikes, we swam near whales, kayaked, watched a movie on the beach, and so much more. I realized that for most people, this is something that is so far out of reach right now. So in moments like these, I'm humbly reminded of how privileged my life is.
Oh, that would be something you just keep to yourself. Holy cow. Take a snapshot and put it in your photo album.
Trying to give us FOMO all at once. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. Yeah, you're exactly right, Julia.
That is just something we did not need to hear about.
Mm-hmm. No. You know, and it's one of those things where she was trying to get ahead of everyone by saying, I recognize my privilege. But to your point, Julia, exactly. If you did this and you had all of the privilege
I mean,
to
you're
do
lucky
it,
you. Yeah. You're going to inspire a lot of jealousy. See, and yesterday she did a thing. This is what 40 looks like.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know,
it's timing.
Well, that and the
and
fact
her Dinkus
that
Moranis husband is trying to run for president and everything. She's
not with him.
No, but I like her. It doesn't matter. It's just timing.
It's the timing. And also when you say things like this is what 40 looks like. You know, then people will say things like, after 40 surgeries, this is what 40 looks like.
Right.
It's just like.
And she's a good person. And she was just on a run with the David Letterman sit down.
I know.
Way to.
Yeah. So there's a lot of memes on Twitter and Instagram giving Kim Kardashian flack for that tone deaf message about her 40th birthday today. So if she's trending, that's why.
Only because also most of us, unless she had a birthday before March, whatever.
None of us had.
All of us had like, you know, the weirdest birthday of our lives. COVID. Not, you know, we don't. Have that any of us, you know, going to isolate and test and do all that stuff.
Right. I mean, it's so layered.
For an hour with your family, I'm not going to isolate for 2 weeks and do all that.
Yeah.
There's just so many layered nuances to why people are not here for this message. So we'll move on.
All right.
Another headline today. You know, I mentioned this in a Dirt Alert update at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, I believe. Keith Raniere, the leader of the sex cult Nexium, has been sentenced to life in prison, 120 years behind bars today for his role in Nexium. So he was charged on 7 felony charges today, ranging from sex trafficking to racketeering, child pornography to forced labor.
Wow.
And he still doesn't believe he did anything wrong.
And there's another whole series. Not only did HBO do The Vow, then there's something on Starz.
Yep, that already started. Yep.
India Oxenberg, her story, and that's supposed to be really good. Holly, did you finish The Vow? Should I go back to that?
I watched The Vow. You know, I only would recommend The Vow on HBO, the NXIVM docuseries, if this is something that you were really, really fascinated by. Like, if you were fascinated by cults,
now that I know he's been
enough. Yeah.
He's sentenced and everything, I kind of feel like I'm good with the end of the story.
We're
going
to go back to being obsessed with Scientology.
Well, let's just say there's a lot of Venn diagrams between NXIVM and
That's
Scientology.
True.
And you watch it, and, you know, 10 episodes, it was a long haul, but you see, again, it's kind of like you see how people get drawn into these organizations slowly, and
right.
NXIVM does the same thing that Scientology does with Scientology auditing. They essentially get blackmail on
right.
you, so if you ever want to leave Scientology, they have the dirt on you. Same with NXIVM.
The thing
we're
for us to
feel that way about each other,
right? But the thing to follow would be like check in like with Tony Ortega and see what's because Danny Masterson is finally getting charged with rape,
right?
Finally, after dodging and hiding behind Scientology, because four victims were Scientology, that's really pretty huge.
Yeah, it is.
And that could be a one more chip in Scientology's facade of religion. So, I mean, tax-exempt status, terrible.
Right. And there are documentaries about Scientology, too. What's the one on HBO?
The
one by Alex
Gibney. Going Clear.
Going Clear,
Yes. So that's
a good
documentary. Incredible documentary on HBO Max. If you want to watch that, it's a little more digestible than The Vow is. And there's a second season of The Vow that's going to be broadcasting sometime next year on HBO. I think they're going to be going into the trial of NXIVM. Keith Raniere and a lot of his cohorts were put on trial, and some of them pled guilty, like Claire Bronfman from the Seagram's family.
How about that?
Yeah, well, and then you see in detail.
An heiress, I mean, you know, but it doesn't matter. I mean, of course, people like that would be targeted if there's
absolutely.
At all a little
money
fracture. I remember when Catherine Oxenberg said she signed her and her daughter up. They thought they were just going to learn how to, like, speak up more for what they wanted.
Right.
That's kind of, it was like under this
guise of self-help.
Yes.
Always. It's always under self-help. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what Scientology is, too. It's like, hey, read Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard and
help yourself. Understand the world.
Yeah. I feel like we are going way over time
here. You know, I had the music down, so we missed the wrap-up bed and the traffic bed.
Okay, all day we've been off.
You know,
this was super fun.
That was. Thank you.
Why don't you do some traffic without the bed, and we'll go to commercial.
Okay, great.
Well, duh.
Duh. How are we doing, Julia? How are we doing? Are people donating? Are people just...
Well, let's just take a peek.
Take a peek.
Let's be the official
time.
All right.
Keeper,
I
look at you and your...
people are watching. I'm changing outfits.
Yeah, you are. You're kind of in your weight-lifting outfit there. Look at that.
Bring out the pipes.
Julia, you got some guns, girl.
I do have some guns. I know. Let me just see if people are donating. Oh, let's see. Let's talk about something else while I get this up and going, because I'm changing as we speak.
I'm afraid, Rocco, to do anything to the Zoom button and look at anything, minimize it, do anything.
I was kind
anything.
Of afraid of that, too, but I think...
I'm not doing a thing. I've mostly been fixing my hair, I'm not going to lie.
You've been playing with your hair all day. I'm playing pickleball after work, so I just changed into my pickleball bowl outfit or whatever.
Pickleball, yeah.
As one does in the middle of a radio program in a studio.
Well, why not?
And
no
one's here.
Everybody
got to see it. You could have raised money.
That's right, Julia, except that I know that... What's his name would have gotten mad at us.
B. Arthur?
Yeah, if we started flashing for dollars.
I've done that already. I don't make as much as I used to, so it's just not worth it anymore, you know.
Now, to be honest, I don't even know where we go to see what we've raised. Is there a button?
I'll show you. All right, you guys talk. Lori, let's start with something
Wait,
I see a leaderboard. That's what we're going for, right?
Yes.
Okay,
gotcha.
Okay.
I'm going to give... The dust of dust.
You guys were in first place. What are you complaining about?
That's okay, but we have been the whole time, and that doesn't last. Because you should have heard Kenny.
She's so competitive.
Oh, I'm so competitive. Trust me, we've been down this road before, and I listened to Kenny and them this morning because that was the only show I could listen to, Kenny and Jason, Alexis, and Don. And they're like, we can't let those girls be ahead of us. I mean, I'll eat a raisin if someone donates $10. I'll eat two if you do $15.
Well,
I'm like, for crying out loud.
Good for them.
I'll eat a cow if someone gives us money.
Right.
I would eat, like, what could we even eat? I'd eat a steak tartare.
Well,
Yeah, we haven't had a donation in a little while. We could use a little help.
People are driving.
Absolutely. I did see, like, I drove behind a school bus today. I felt really good.
Traffic is coming back.
It's coming back a little bit. It really is.
Okay. Here is the study of does.
Okay. Yes.
Trendy intermittent. Am I saying that word right?
Intermittent fasting.
Fasting diets are no better for weight loss than eating the same meals throughout the day.
I disagree. There's so much research. This is just one study. Mm-hmm. I saw this, Lori, and I avoided this like the plague.
Yeah.
I've listened to so many podcasts on intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it.
But Julia, the studies have studied the studies that studied, and it makes no difference.
You sound like someone I know.
Yeah, but it really makes no difference.
Tell people who've lost weight on intermittent fasting.
Well, that is because they've cut down the amount of food that they're eating.
I refuse to intake food tomorrow if people will donate money.
Julia, no one wants to be part of your fakakta food issues. Yeah.
I'd eat ice cream.
Yeah, no, none of this. All none right, of fine. This. But I'm just saying that when people lose weight, it's because they've made a change in another way. They're not eating as much. They're exercising more. All this.
We're going to agree to disagree because I don't believe you.
I've got science on my side.
I've got my body on my side. I've got living proof of my friends who've done it. Not me, of course, but they didn't cheat like I always cheat on diets.
Okay, but
it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle.
Do you ever notice, yes, that people who are chronic dieters, it becomes their lifestyle and they lose the same 10 to 20 pounds.
Are you talking to me? This is all targeted at me.
No, it isn't. I know other people like you.
Well, so you are one of me. Rocco, have you ever had a weight problem?
I mean, I feel like I could lose.
Everyone's got the COVID-9 or 19. People have gained COVID.
Gail
weight.
King came out and showed us her scale. You know, I can't believe Oprah let her go off Weight Watchers.
Well, there's COVID-19. It's just been a thing. People are stress eating. And also, if you're stressed, you're producing cortisol.
You're right. And your body doesn't lose weight.
It's just, you know, I say be real gentle with yourself about all of that.
I agree.
Of course, you know.
I agree.
Adele did her CERT diet, but that's not intermittent fasting.
What's that?
I mean, that's red wine and dark chocolate.
Is that all she ate?
No, but it's allowed, the CERT diet. It's called SIRT.
Has she talked about how she lost the weight? Is that part of
that
it?
That is known, and she took the 100 pounds off in a year.
A kettle, what do they call it? 15 stone or whatever they call it.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever that is.
So anyway, okay, so there's that study of duh. And then here is a study of duh.
Okay. It's how do you spell that diet, Lorene? Celt?
CERT, S-I-R-T.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, this one you're going to, I know, agree with, Joya. This is a study of duh, but the pen is mightier than the keyboard. Yes, in fact, writing by hand helps us learn.
I've done this my whole life. I swear, if I just would show up for a class and write the notes down and not even study, but I double learn. I feel like you double learn when you listen and you write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's how I learn.
So this is a Norwegian study.
Oh.
And because pens, paper, and notebooks used to be mainstays in classroom, but over like maybe the last 15 years,
right,
maybe binders and notebooks have slowly been replaced by laptops and tablets.
Yeah.
Because of the convenience. But they say that both children and adults learn more and remember things more efficiently when writing by hand rather than a keyboard. All modern children should be instructed in handwriting and know how to do it for that exact reason. It's not the first time that they've done it, but they've done it where they have the kids watch something, then they measure their brains, and then they have them write it, and then they measure their brain. And
Rocco, does Bruno write?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but he doesn't like it, you know.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that maybe for coronial parents, it'd be another thing that you could
another thing to add to your list.
Well, I mean, just a writing thing, and maybe you could make it be about something fun so that, you know, another way. But the theory is behind this is that using pencil or pen and paper gives the brain more hooks, if you will, to hanging your memories.
I would agree.
Onto it. I mean, I bet the learning arts people yes. kind of know about that, but when you write by hand, you're doing sensory motor parts of your brain, and a lot of those senses are just pressed into play by just the fact you're putting the pen to the paper down and seeing the letters you write and hearing the sound, and then it opens up your brain for learning. So
this is why. Okay, so I will just say one more thing. And I remember when one of my kids learned cursive writing, and then the second one, when he got to fourth grade, they decided to stop it. Yeah. I was livid.
Livid. I remember that. We were on the air.
I was livid. I'm like, how do you stop teaching people how to write cursive? How do they sign their signature? How do they do anything? Yeah, right, it made me so mad. It was the dumbest thing.
Right.
But we're not going to teach it anymore. But there is the way your brain works in a different way than keying. So there, that's a good study, Lori. That's not even a study of dot.
It's not. It was
useful information.
It was published in the Frontiers in Psychology.
I'm going to give you a gold star and donate $10 in your name. Thank you, Jennifer.
If you like that story. And here is something for maybe your kids that are in junior high and high school, an old parenting tip.
This is from Casey.
That when his kids would do something, like whatever it was, however they screwed up or if they did something wrong or whatever, he would make them write a story about it.
Yep,
He'd say, okay, you need to write me a one-page story about what did you learn about this or whatever. And sometimes it would be I remember one time the girl had like a 5-page story. It was when I kind of felt bad for her.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But she learned a lot.
Yeah. Well, his son always, he said, Dad, you ended up making me be a better writer than all my other friends because of my punishment of having to write stories.
And he'd go write in the basement in the typewriter, I remember. Yes. In the damp, cold basement.
Yeah. But anyway, all right, so there you go. There you go.
Thank you, and thank you, Jennifer.
Did we get some donations?
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
All right, listen, we'll be right back. Oh, my gosh, I know about it. There's a juicy Britney story we never got to.
Really?
Yeah.
We need to think.
Yeah, get to the stuff we need to get to.
Vicky, look at this nice long-distance dedication from Vicky. Okay, Rocco, you were going to say something, though, when I cut you off.
Oh, I was just supposed to. I was contractually obligated to say, don't forget to sign up for listener rewards, where you can win a streaming sampler pack, AirPods, MyTalk gear, restaurant gift cards, and more. See everything up for grabs and listener rewards on our app or at MyTalk1071.com.
People love those AirPods, Lori. You and I are like the holdouts.
You see them a lot on Zoom meetings.
You do.
You
know?
Yeah. The problem is my small ear holes. And we don't have time to go into those. But the ear pods.
Last night she was deaf.
They don't fit my ears.
That's your issue.
That's my issue.
I've got bigger ear holes than you do. Uh-huh. That's what she said. But here's what Vicky said. Vicky, thank you. Excuse me. She dedicated her money to the Hennepin Theater ushers.
Oh,
that's so cool, because that's who we don't think about is
right.
The bartenders, the ushers, everybody who works in the community of arts and entertainment. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Vicky.
That's so true.
And Holly, thank you for your donation. And Jennifer, she did one for all of us.
Oh.
So Colleen and Bradley, Lauren Julia, Don and Steve. Thank you, Jennifer, Kathleen. I mean, thank you, everybody. Anonymous, Gina, Eric. It's so nice. And we're just trying to really help our communities because, my gosh, they bring us so much joy. Think about it, people. All right, what do you got? What's the juicy? Do we want to talk the Britney story?
I'll give you the Britney story in a nutshell. A hairstylist that worked with Britney just said that she would be married and she would have had a baby by now with her boyfriend if it wasn't for her dad. That her dad is keeping her. He's controlling her life. It's her makeup artist.
Well, that's sad in itself.
He said it's a Handmaid's Tale plot to keep her from having a boyfriend. He said, I can tell you what, they're still controlling to this day whether she has a baby or not, whether she gets married or not, who her friends are. And those are some big things. And we're talking, like, I can't detail, and I'm not going to specifically say how, but I will say for sure, She would have had a baby by now. She would have been married probably to Sam. Yeah. She would have groups of friends around her. And he said, I can't detail all the things that Sam went through, but he went through a hell of a lot to even be with her, because when they started dating, you know, her dad basically controlled when he saw her and this and that and the other thing. So he said he's hoping, you know, that because she's doing more of her social media. And so anyway, that's what he says is happening. That's, right? That's what he says.
Well, that's super sad.
Well,
you know, if you wouldn't have controlled my life, I'd be so different.
Would you? Would you be pregnant and married to a younger man by now?
Right. what the hell?
Right. And then the funniest. Okay, so that's just, who knows? I don't know if this is what the deal is with this guy. But, you know, maybe also the dad also has to be wary of, you know, she doesn't have financial decision-making power. She's worth $1 million gazillion. There's been how many Hollywood stories, or not even Hollywood, where somebody who just, you know, is easily taken advantage of with money.
100%. But at this,
I mean, look at Debbie Reynolds. Oh. She was at her wits about her, and she lost a couple of fortunes to a couple of husbands who did not have her best interest in mind. You know, there's flim-flam men and women out there, Julia, to use an old 40s radio term.
Flim-flam
man.
She just made it up. Woman.
No, I'm not.
That's a real thing.
That's
Is
a
it?
Real thing.
Yeah, flim-flam man.
I would say that Gloria Steinem's dad, played by Timothy Hutton in The Two Glorias, she portrays him as a flim-flam man.
Okay, here's what I started watching last night. The Helen Reddy movie.
Oh, documentary?
It's not a documentary. It's a movie.
Really?
Can't tell you if it was on Netflix. I think it was on Netflix. And we had heard about it coming out. And, you know, Helen Reddy passed away famously when you were out of town. And I was with the two Yahoo youngsters who didn't even know.
Mac Davis died the same day.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, we did. But, I mean, Helen was my girl in that album. And You and Me Against the World. I just loved her. Yeah. So, anyway, it's kind of good. But it tells her story about coming from Australia, winning a music contest.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And
talk
then
about
falling
it.
In love with this
it's
guy.
It's a biopic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of good.
So you didn't get back to The Queen's Gambit, the one that people are binging? I want to drag it out. I do too. I know it.
I want to savor it because I don't.
I watched Fargo last night, that show now, the fifth episode.
Is it finally good?
It is finally gotten.
It's a long time to wait. That's 5 hours of television.
I think Noah Hawley has done this to us before. I think he does it with every episode. Mm-hmm. He did the slow build.
He did it with his book.
Yes.
The Fall. What was it called?
After the Fall.
Oh, my gosh. That audiobook, I swear, was 21 hours. And my brother John and I listened to it going to Nebraska to visit my son when he went to school there. Mm-hmm. My brother's like, please. Will it end?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing happened after the fall, right?
Do you watch Fargo, Rocco?
I watched the first two and I liked it and I just haven't got back.
Well, this one just came back. It's Chris Rock and none of them are related, but it was.
But I remember the third one, the original, you know, the first few episodes, they're like, yeah, it's not so good. And then it started kicking with
Ewan McGregor and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Oh, my word.
Oh, my word. But I like the one before it with Kristen Dunst and our guy from Friday Night Lights.
Yep.
People want to donate.
Yeah.
Go to My Talk keyword project.
We'd love it if you did it.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Rocco, for everything. And thank you, everyone, for your donations. We really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night.
Job done. Off you go.